Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Dave Jenkinson continues our Advent series, today presenting Jesus, our eternal hope. And now, here's Dave.
What a beautiful, beautiful time of worship that was. So encouraging as we are thinking about a coming day, the birth of the Lord Jesus. And I'm especially happy for today. Four is the number, once you remember. We got four more seconds of daylight today. Over yesterday, we rounded the corner. We're heading back for more days. So more daylight time is coming. So, right on. Good news. And I especially like that. We were very excited this past week on the 19th to host a supper and a video presentation. And thank you for those of you who prayed. There was 4-0 present for that event. And so that was just an exciting time as we gathered together some people that we'd never met before, some people here that I've never met before. So that's always nice to see at the Christmas season, that we get to meet new friends and just encourage them to meet the Savior. This passage this morning I'd like us to turn to is a beautiful passage. There's already been some alluding to it from the children's portion. Matthew chapter 2. And Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, we'd like to read together with you to start this service this morning. And it begins, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired, 'Where the Christ was to be born?' He said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are you not among the least of the rulers of Judah? For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' And when Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem. 'Go, search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, I may come and worship him also.' And they heard the king, and they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child and Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, myrrh. And then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Wow, what a beautiful portion of Scripture. What an interesting story. I love how the Gospels portray such a balanced approach. You have Luke's account talking about the background of Mary and her cousin Elizabeth and all of the things that were going on in that situation when she's made known that there is coming a Savior. And she says, "How can this be? And I've not known a man. I'm a young woman. I'm betrothed, but I'm being faithful." And she says this with sincere devotion, not the how of disbelief. You know, just as an aside, God's good with questions. He doesn't bother, he's got big shoulders. The God we love and serve, he's good for your questions. There's no question that you want to ask God that he hasn't already been asked. There's nothing new under the sun. You know that, right? Like, we think we're special because we're in the 21st century. We got so much on the go. He's saying, this is just a repeat performance here. You know, you're just going through something that's been going through for many centuries. And you can ask him all the questions you want because he has the answers. And he's willing to give the answers. Come now, let us reason together. In Isaiah, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come, I want to hear your reasoning. But it's about sin. And so Jesus comes into this world. And Mary says, how can this be? And he says, oh, nothing is impossible with God. Do you guys believe that? We got to get back to the fact that we serve a God of impossible situations. Who would have guessed when the slaves were there for 400 years and they've been saying, what's going on here? I thought we were going to be the redeemed people, that the Messiah was coming through us, that we would have freedom. We talk about the God of freedom. We're slaves, 400 years. But God came to that people. Let me tell you, one of the reasons it's so nice about Christmas is we look back to the first coming, but we always look forward to his next coming. Because he said, I shall return. And he doesn't say that without making the power to make it happen. And let me assure you, as much as this world looks like it's a world of chaos, in a topsy-turvy kind of a situation with wars raging, God is in control. We need to hear that. He says peace to the storms. And it was so. And it's still so in our hearts. And the world may not look like a peaceful world. And the angels said peace on earth. Peace in the earth is what happens when you invite Jesus to be Lord of your life. Because this clump of clay called David needed peace from a Savior. And so do each one of you. And if you will surrender your life to Jesus, like the kings that came forth in this story, they surrendered. That's what the story's all about. And so, when we talk about this, we're talking about Jesus as our eternal hope today. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So it only comes through Jesus. Now there's many people today that would say, whoa, Dave, don't be exclusive. Don't be inclusive. You gotta let the rest of the world know they're included. They are. The world was always included in this message of the gospel. Where the gospel's gone out, it's always said all who believe. No exclusions. You don't happen to belong to a tribe in Judah, that's okay. You don't happen to belong to a tribe in Israel, that's okay. All the world is included. But it always comes only through one man. And his name is Jesus. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That comes from Joel chapter 2. But it was said by Peter in the day of Pentecost in his very first sermon after the resurrection. And he reminded the Jewish believers that were listening to him that this Jesus, verse 36, whom you crucified, is both Lord and Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. And when they heard this, they said, what shall we do? And he said, repent. Did you hear that? Message hasn't changed. If you want to believe, remember, it starts with repenting. Because repentance is the turn, the willingness to turn, the surrender. Let everyone you then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, and you claim to be a Christian, the Bible says you are not. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not talking about some sort of a an experience of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about knowing that the Holy Spirit resides within you. God with us. Emmanuel. Just as Mary said, let it be so according to your will. Let it be unto thy handmaiden. When you surrender to Jesus, he comes inside you. The Holy Spirit comes within. And you become a new creature. That's what we were singing about. Born again a second time. And so this is what Peter was talking to them in the very beginning of the first message that he gave after the resurrection. 1 Timothy 2:5 makes it clear. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The cross is a huge super plus sign. And that's what God came to do. Bring plus into your life. That's what the cross is all about. The devil, he wants to divide, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So these wise men came from the east. They were called kings. They followed a star to Bethlehem. Some believe that they were astronomers or scholars from the region of Persia and Iran. Others believe that they were a group descended from Daniel's time in Babylon. Whichever they were, they had to do something that's kind of tough. They had to sleep during the day and walk during the night. How do we know that? Because they were... And I don't know how you could follow a star during the day. So they were the night shift workers. Look, if you have to work night shift, thank God, because God is still there in the dark with you. And every time you're out there, whether it's patrolling the highways or whether it's working in the hospital or whether it's serving in some way, firefighters, whatever, God with you. God with us. These men came from the east. And just an aside, if you haven't seen the movie Journey to Bethlehem, you gotta see it. It's available. You know where you can find it. It's a great Christmas story for this time of year. And these guys call themselves, the three of them, they call themselves, we're just the wise guys. And I love that. Because they were so much like us. Mo, Curly, and Larry, you know, just three stooges. They were just trying to follow God and follow the star. And it's neat. But for those of us who have to work night shift, let me remind you, God is there in the night, right there in the dark. Sometimes he keeps you in the dark so that you will fulfill your calling just like these guys did. They had to walk at night, but they followed. And they came to Jesus. Did you notice that? There was no bowing down to the parents. There was bowing down to Jesus. They worshiped Jesus. That's what Christianity is all about. Worship, service, going in the dark sometimes. And as they came down, they offered their treasures. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm told right now, a 1 ounce gold coin is worth over 3,700 U.S. or Canadian, I should say Canadian, because our price of the dollar just keeps going down. That means the price of gold just keeps going up. They came and brought gold. I think that there's something in these three gifts that we should be reminded. What shall we give to the Lord? Well, you can give financially. We don't talk a lot about it. We don't put a lot of pressure on people to give. You'll notice there's no offering taken here in this service. And there's a reason for that. Offerings have to be from the heart. Voluntary. Without pressure. And these guys didn't have somebody sending them emails or snail mail saying, hey guys, I hear you're coming and make sure you bring plenty of gold. No, that was their desire. And they brought the gold. But they didn't just bring the gold, they brought frankincense. Frankincense, it's made from the resin of the trees. And it's used in worship. Frankincense was used in the altar service. They would sprinkle it on the coals And I'll never forget when we were in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, at the Mennonite Tabernacle. If you ever get there, I encourage you to go. It's a full-size replica of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And as the gentleman comes out and talks about it, he says, now I want you to imagine for a moment you're in amongst this very holy place. And the smell of the frankincense is like something you could never imagine, but it's very beautiful scent. And we're going to put some on the altar of incense. And he dropped down some frankincense on it. And we could see the cloud coming up. He said, now, you guys in the top, the pews over there, you're not going to smell it for a while, but 2 or 3 minutes from now, it's going to hit you. That's exactly the way frankincense operates. And when we were sitting there, all of a sudden, he's still talking. I'm like, oh, that's so wonderful. Oh, wow. And this is used in worship and worship to God. And so the Bible says our prayers are like offerings to God of worship. May that be our experience over this Christmas season. May not be just about gifts and gift giving and family times. All those are good. But may there be moments when we can look up to God and say, oh, Lord, this is so good to worship you right now. And then, of course, there was myrrh. Myrrh. So it sounds almost like an animal, doesn't it? Myrrh. But it's actually used several times in the Lord's life. And myrrh was used in funeral arrangements. And those remind us that his purpose to come was to die in our place. The Lamb of God takes our place. And we trust that that which happened over 2,000 years ago is now effective today. And that all our sins were laid upon him, as Isaiah 53 says. And he bore all our iniquities as the Lamb of God. What a wonderful thing. He became our sacrifice. And so he says, you seek me and you will find me when you seek for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. And so why do we need hope in this day? Because the world is not the way it should be. Because our lives are not the way they should be. But while many do not have hope, you and I who know the Lord Jesus, Ephesians 2 says this, you've been made alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You once walked according to the course of this world. You once conducted yourselves according to the lusts of the flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy, and in his great love with which he's loved us, even when we were dead, made us alive together in Christ. For by grace you have been saved. Our hope is in the Lord. Psalms 31:24. You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust. Psalms 71:5. But I love this one. Psalms 119:114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And let's not forget that John clarifies what word he's talking about. In the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to many as he received, he became them the authority to be called the children of God. And so we who are outside the nation of Israel have been included in the message of salvation. And so Jeremiah says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Psalms 102 puts it this way. Oh, my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will change them. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. God doesn't change. He's so unlike us. 1 minute approving something, the next minute scolding something, the very same action. God, he is eternal, immutable. He doesn't change. He loves us, and it is forever. Quite unlike the bride and groom who were going for marriage counseling. They were both a bit worried whether they'd be a good match. They were both strong-willed. Neither wanted to have any submission to either one another. The bride was also a little bit absent-minded. So she asked the preacher to give her a simple outline of where she was to stand and what to do on the day of her wedding. The preacher was pretty simple. He said, listen, there's only a few words you have to remember. Aisle, just walk down the aisle. Look at your husband. Just smile at him. Altar, don't stop until you reach the altar at the front. And hymn, you remember you have chosen your favorite hymn, so don't forget to ask the congregation to join you in singing following your vows. So the big day arrives. She's gorgeous, dressed in white. She comes down the aisle. She comes down the center, and she says underneath her breath that everybody could hear, aisle, altar, hymn. I'll alter him. I'll alter him. Well, I think the groom heard it too. But God doesn't change. You can't alter God, but He can alter you. The eternal God is your refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so as we think about this, what is our hope at this Christmas? It's eternal. It's forever. It's settled. But what is this hope? This hope is the hope of everlasting life. Another life. The world doesn't talk about death. The world sits back and kind of sanitizes it as much as possible and keeps away all the stickiness and the smelliness and all of the things that go along with death. But He came so that we might have life after death. Our hope this Christmas is that this day is not the end. This is the day for you, if you trust in Jesus, that it's just the beginning for an ever and ending life forever and ever. Stella, first Christmas without her husband, he had died of cancer. She had decided that this year was her first year without any celebrations. The joy and hopes was a delivery truck pulled up. A young man brought a large box to her house, and when she opened up the door, he offered it to bring it inside. It was a bit heavy. Stella opened the box and found inside a small, happy golden retriever puppy. And the note read, "The pup is 6 weeks old, completely housebroken." The young puppy began to wriggle in happiness. "Who sent this?" Mrs. Thornhope said. "It's all explained in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was brought last July while its mother was still pregnant, and it was meant to be your Christmas gift." And the young man handed her a book, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." Again, Stella inquired, "Well, that's quite a gift, but who would have sent me this puppy?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Well, it says right here that your husband sent you this. And he wished you a Merry Christmas." And she opened up a letter from her husband. He had written it 3 weeks before he passed away. It was full of love, encouragement, admonishments to be strong and hopeful. He had vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would come to be with him. And he'd sent her this young animal to keep her company until then. Stella wiped away her tears. Remembering the puppy, she picked it up and held it to her neck and looked out the window at the neighbor's house and the lights and heard it from the radio, the strains of "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sense of peace, greater than all her grief and loneliness. "Little fella," she said to the dog, "it's you and me, just you and me. But you know what? There's a box down in the basement with some decorations, some lights there, and I'm going to impress you. And there's a manger down there too. Let's go get it." You see, God has a way of sending us hope. He wants to remind us that life is stronger than death, that light is more powerful than darkness. God is more powerful than Satan, and good has overcome evil. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. So, at this Christmas season, will you be like the wise men and offer all that you are to God? and receive all that He is to you. Forgiveness of sin. You see, you can believe in or on Jesus. You can cast yourself on His mercy. You can be born again. These are all phrases used for the same experience. You can declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You can say, I've experienced a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You can identify as His son or daughter. His Spirit is your life. I once was blind, now I see. I once was dead, now I'm alive. I once was unable to follow His call for forgiveness and obedience to the Word, but now it is my delight. All these can be yours if you will surrender to Jesus this day. If you refuse and continue to refuse, the day may come when you will not hear Him knocking. So I encourage you to take the moment. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Goodness has come to you this day. These men who came to offer their gifts, it says, they were warned they should not return to Herod. And they departed for their own country another way. Someone has said, that's the way it always happens when one truly worships at the feet of Jesus and becomes born again. You don't go back the same way. You may go back to your own country, but you always return different, a different way. May this Christmas be the very best Christmas ever for you, that you will be walking with the love of God, with the baby Jesus, with the man Jesus, with the Spirit of God dwelling within your heart, and a heart that is happy in the Lord. May God bless you, and may this be a wonderful time. And if you haven't already had a chance to invite someone out for Christmas Eve, what a lovely time to do so.
We thank you, Lord, for coming as a baby and to save and redeem a fallen creation. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that during this time you'll help us to focus on the real reasons of this season, and that is the ultimate, the pinnacle of this season, and that we enjoy the family times, the different expressions of love, but we always keep at the very highest of importance that we're doing it all because we're celebrating the fact that you are our Savior and that you came as a baby to save us. And Lord, we just pray that you'll go with us, help us with our preparations and our minds and our hearts. And may that go with us for the entire year. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.